This is Bhakti Shastri class, chapters 13 and 14, on basically the modes of material nature given in Mayapur, January 18th, 2010. Okay, hope you all enjoyed that. It does skew our time a little bit, but we'll do the best that we can. So now we're going to look at chapter 13, Nature, the Enjoyer, and Consciousness. So I'm sure you've heard from the other teachers that we can divide the Bhagavad Gita into three main sections. The first one deals with karma, the second with bhakti, and the third with jnana. Or you can think of it that the first one deals with the jiva and work, the second one deals with God and our relationship with God, and the third deals with nature, the material world. Most philosophical and religious systems don't teach much about any of those. They don't teach much about who is God. They don't teach much about who are we. And they certainly don't teach much about material nature. I think most religions will claim, at least, to teach something about God and something about you. But very few of them, if I don't know of any of them, that claim to teach how the world works, what it's made out of. They kind of leave that to science. Whereas the Vedas explain the workings of the world. I'm not going to read everything that's on the screen. I'm assuming that you can all read English. So what I'm speaking is in addition to what's on the screen. I'm expecting that you're reading that as well. Yes. The soul. So, although, of course, all of these things are discussed everywhere. So, detached work, the fact that we're not the body, that Krishna is God, that's discussed all over the Gita. But the emphasis in the first six chapters is in how to work in the world, how to work as sacrifice, that you're not this body. Okay, so the first six chapters are dealing, just like you have Krishna speaking in the second chapter, how you're not this body. Then the third chapter, how to work as jagya. But he says you work as jagya, you have to have knowledge. Fourth chapter, he gives that knowledge. Fifth chapter, then he adds knowledge to work, and he explains working as a sacrifice in more depth. That's why both chapter 3 and chapter 5 are called karma yoga. And at the end of chapter 5, he emphasizes again that in your work you should think of him. Therefore, in chapter 6, Krishna discusses that meditation, or thinking about Krishna. So that, therefore, the focus in the first six chapters is on how to work as a sacrifice and the nature of the soul. Then chapters 7 through 12 discuss a little bit more the nature of God, the nature of bhakti, how we see God in the world. We will find that again in chapter 15, briefly, about three verses, but extensively in chapter 7, chapter 9, and chapter 10 is how to meditate on Krishna in the world, how to really connect with Krishna. And then the last six chapters are dealing with the nature of the world itself, the nature of matter. So you could say the first six chapters deal a lot with the nature of the self, the middle six chapters deal a lot with the nature of God, and the last six chapters deal a lot with the nature of matter. Although, as I said, they're not neatly compartmentalized. It's a conversation. It's a conversation. When you have a conversation, your topics sometimes go in different directions. Just like chapter 8 is a whole different direction. Arjuna asks some questions, Krishna goes in another direction, he comes back to the same topics in chapter 9. Okay, so many times this section is called the Jnana section. And this is some explanation about why the Jnana section is last. Generally speaking, people remember the last thing you tell them. So you might ask, why did Krishna put it last? Sometimes Bhagavad Gita is explained like a jewel box with the karma and jnana on the bottom and the lid and bhakti. Okay, here's how we can divide up the chapter. You have a lot of this in your book. And there's different ways you can divide the chapter. It's a little overview. So we find Bhagavad Gita, like Bhagavatam and so many other scriptures, are based on questions and answers. And of course, in chapter 4, Krishna says when you approach a guru, you have to approach with questions. And sometimes people are hesitant to ask questions. Without questions, there's no exchange, there's no rasa. So he's asking, what is Prakriti, Purusha, Kshetra, Kshetra, Gyan, and Gneya? Okay, so Krishna is going to explain Kshetra and Kshetra Gyan. Kshetra is like a field. Field is where you plant your food. It's where you get your tasty thing, your bitter melon and your bananas. And the soul is reaping the fruits of that field. So our body is the main field from which we're getting our happiness and distress. So I have a question for you. In text 2 in the purport, Prabhupada says, according to his capacity to dominate material nature and according to his capacity to enjoy sense gratification, one is given a particular body. What do you think that means? Yes? Okay. How does desire and karma equate to capacity?
If you do some good things, you get some good karma, so then you have more capacity to enjoy.
How does that happen? I'm not clear about how that happens. What does capacity mean? Do you all know what capacity means?
Ability.
So how does doing good karma give you more ability to dominate material nature and more ability to enjoy sense gratification?
Because you get a body that allows you to give you the ability to gratify your senses more, like according to that body.
Okay. Yeah.
Because your subtle body becomes more and more refined, and can get more and more subtle pleasures. So depending, or more and more gross. So depending on the condition of the mind, the particular body the condition of the mind and karma, the particular body is formed.
Okay. I like that idea about the subtle body getting more and more refined. Yes?
Yes. This happens because according to what we wish, Krishna gives us.
Yes, but I'm wondering how that relates to... Oh, you know, the screen. Can somebody other than me pull the screen down a little so we can see? Does it go down further?
I think so.
But we can see the left side.
Yes. One is given a particular body.
How does this relate to capacity? I understand what you're saying, but what does that have to do with ability to dominate material nature and to enjoy sense gratification?
It is just, I'm just thinking out loud that I heard that sometimes like if somebody who was in the body of, like, for example, a bug quickly transforms into a body of a human being, he may get a body which has like, he's a retarded or something like that. He's not completely capable of enjoying human body because the gap is so big that his subtle body is not possible to grasp all the, like, possibilities that are offered in a human body. So I don't say it's a bona fide explanation. I'm just trying to think about capacity to dominate, because it must be
and capacity to enjoy.
To enjoy. It must come from the more subtle to gross, like from the mind to body.
Anybody else have some thoughts?
I was just thinking, maybe depending on one's ability to maintain the mode of goodness, they can increase their ability for sense gratification. Because some important entities, we can't maintain that. Even if they get the facility, they'll just do good.
That's very interesting. Yes?
I was going to come to the modes of nature. thinking that the capacity means as more the nature you're dominated by allows you to enjoy or dominate material nature.
Okay. Anybody else have any thoughts on this? Yes?
Demigod has more capacity to dominate material nature.
Definitely. I mean, we have more capacity to dominate material nature than an animal does. Much more. The difference between an animal's capacity to dominate material nature and a human being is tremendous. An animal can hardly dominate material nature at all. And our ability to make nice arrangements for our sense gratification is also much greater. Although, you know, sometimes we talk about animals can see better or they can have sex more, but we can certainly make nicer arrangements.
So would you say that capacity has to do with desire?
So there must be some link.
Yes, that's good.
There's got to be a link.
It seems like that they're almost synonymous with this statement. I don't know.
There's got to be a link. I mean, it's. I'm not sure what the link is, but there has to be a link between desire. We can obviously understand the link between desire and action. That's easy. What I really want to do, I do. Like some friends invited me to a bhajan last night. I said I'd really like to go, but I want to prepare for my class on chapter 15. And they said, then you don't really want to go. You really want to prepare for your class. So what we really desire, we do. That's obvious. But how does that lead to capacity? So I think some of your ideas about desire, if your desires and your actions are more in the mode of goodness, you have more capacity both to dominate nature and to enjoy sense gratification. Look around. Is there any way to see the bottom of the... Because we've got, it's like down. Hare Krishna, what is your name?
Ojasvini
Radhika. Ah, the very brilliant and effulgent Radhika. Okay, when we take a break, can you fix? We'll be taking a break in 15 minutes. You can fix that? Very good. Okay. There's a very nice explanation in the Bhagavatam discussing about how Krishna is equal to everyone. It said, although Krishna is equal to everyone, the material nature favors the mode of goodness. And we'll talk about that later. Keep that in mind. Material nature favors the mode of goodness. So yes, the more you're in the mode of goodness, the greater your capacity to work with material nature and even to enjoy. Okay, so cetera is the body, the crops are happiness and distress. And you have two knowers. And the analogy given is just like an ordinary... This happens all the time, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Just like an ordinary, it's a really nice slide. It's a really nice slide you're missing here, guys. Don't you just really want to see it? There's... How do we stick to a time schedule here? I have no idea. So the analogy is given, just like an ordinary person owns their property, but the king or the president or the government owns all of the properties. Do you know how to fix that? Loharam? Hey, Loharam! Hey, Loharam! He must have gone away and the figures have come back in 15 minutes. Hopefully that's a real 15 minutes. Okay, just like a person has their own property, but also the ruler also owns the property. And the evidence of that is that the government can take away your property if they want to. Right? In America, we call that eminent domain. That if they want to take away your property and build a highway or even build a supermarket, they can do it. And they're supposed to pay you for it, but, you know, they might not. So, yeah, they pay you less than it's worth. So Krishna is the ultimate knower of this body. How do we know that? Because he can take it away. Anything that can be taken away from us and we cannot hold on to must not belong to us. If it's mine, I should be able to keep it. Anything you can't keep doesn't belong to you. Does that make sense? If there's anything that you have that can be taken away at any time, without warning, without your permission, it must not be yours. Logical, right? Okay. Okay, so Krishna raises five. I'm sorry, I have to just do this orally. Krishna raises up. Hey, Olivia? Rohita? Somebody?
I looked outside for the last one.
Then maybe I shouldn't bother doing things with the computer? God, I spent like probably 20 hours preparing all this stuff for you. What? Do you know where the button is?
Yes, but
yeah, press you press that button.
Off, and then it off and on again, but sometimes it takes a while.
Is there a button you need to press?
That's what it is. It's remote. Press that button. The power. There's a generator.
It doesn't seem to do anything.
Yeah. Maybe it only works for a while.
But the power is there.
No, it's not.
Speakers.
Oh, yeah. I know, but... It's not. The power came on. There's power. Is there anything we have to press on that? Is there something you have to press on up there? Well, I pressed on the remote. Oh, that's good.
Not always like this. Maybe Lakshmi Mani Mataji was working.
It liked her.
she made a complaint about it, and somehow they changed one of these boxes, and it started working better. But anyway.
Okay.
But with Nanda Mataji, we had most of the classes outside. We didn't use computers, so I don't know.
All right, so these are the five topics and where they are answered. What the body is made out of, how it changes, how it's produced, the identity of the knower, and the influence of the knower. It really is. I wish somebody had told me it was shaky. I wouldn't have spent all that. I spent like all week working on these. All right. How the body is constituted is answered in text 6 and 7, and where it gives the elements of the body. What are the elements listed in text 6 and 7? Anybody know? Without looking. Yeah? The elements, what is the body made out of?
Earth, water, fire.
Okay, earth means solids, ether means space, water means liquids, air means gases. They're also made out of false ego, intelligence, and what else? 10 senses, mind, 5 sense objects, life symptoms, conviction. And what changes does the body undergo? That's described in text 7 and 20. Desire, sometimes we have desire, hatred, happiness, distress, convictions. Those are all changes of the body, and those are all products of the modes of nature.
I didn't understand a bit about the unmanifested.
That's a tough thing to understand. Because something that's unmanifested, you can't perceive with your senses or your mind. So how are you going to understand it? You have no way to touch it. Right? If I click this power, will it go back on? No, it won't. Is it alive? Hopeful. Okay. The way I think about the unmanifested or the prajan, that's where there's no solids, liquids, air, gases, fire. There's nothing is distinguishable from each other. You can't distinguish a table from a wall from gases. Just like if you think about water, water is hydrogen and oxygen, which are gases. And when you put them together, they become a liquid. So if you take the atoms themselves are made of protons, neutrons, electrons. When they're combined in different ways, they make different elements. But if you just have a bunch of protons, neutrons, and electrons floating around, they wouldn't be anything in particular. So that's how I understand the unmanifested. Everything's broken up. You can no longer distinguish. This is gold, this is wood, this is earth. That's the best I can do. No silly questions.
Like, where is the Prajna? Like, is that in the body of Vishnu then? Like, is that when it becomes unmanifest?
I don't think I can answer that question. I understand the unmanifest being a particular state of material nature that exists when there's no creation. Mm-hmm. Something like, if you're not cooking, you have all these ingredients are separated, they're not combined. You have flour, you have butter, you have milk, you have water, you have sugar, but they're not creating anything. They're just separate. So you have, everything is just, nothing has combined. They haven't formed the modes of nature, they haven't formed the states of matter, they haven't formed anything. They're in it, you can't perceive them there's no senses, of course, to perceive them with. But it's not perceivable. So the unmanifested always exists in everything, just like the flour always exists in the bread, or the sugar exists in the bread. You can taste the sugar in the bread, you can't see it. You can taste that there's water in the bread, but you can't see it. So everything's made up of the unmanifested, which again, to my mind, is something like just a bunch of protons, neutrons, and electrons floating around without being combined into atoms. But I may not be explaining it correctly, but that's my own kind of mental picture of it. So everything, the protons, neutrons, and electrons, are all still here. That unmanifested part of nature is still here. It's just now it's combined into different forms. Or if you have clay, and you take the clay and you make it into different things, then you just have the clay again. Okay, how, where, and when the body is produced, which is answered in text 6, 21, 22, and 30. So that nature is the cause of all material causes and effects, whereas the living entity is the cause of the various sufferings and enjoyments in this world. This is due to his association with material nature. Very important Sanskrit, karna guna sangasya. By sangha, by association, karana, cause, guna, modes. And all activities are performed by the body, which is made of material nature, and the soul is not doing anything. Okay, just like...
Which verse are you
on? I was on...
621.
6, 21, 22, and 30. That's answering Krishna's question... How, where, and when the body is produced. The body is produced out of the modes of material nature. How a living entity associates with the modes, that is how the body is produced. But the soul is not doing anything. Just like somebody watching a movie. If you're watching a movie, well, you're watching a movie, that's something, you're doing something. But you're not really doing what the characters in the movie are doing. You're just watching. So you have a desire to watch a particular movie. You hear about a movie and you think, oh, that would be a fun movie. You hear about it from your friends or whatever, you read about it in the newspaper and you think, oh, that would be an interesting movie, and you pay your money, you have to have enough money to see it, right? And you go to the theater and then you just sit in the chair and you're not doing anything. And three different color lights are dancing on the screen and the actors performed in a different place, but you feel like you're doing something. While you're watching the movie, you feel like you're one of the characters, or a computer game. You know, and you're playing a computer game, you're not doing anything. You're sitting in your chair, just expressing your desires through the computer. And what's doing something? Ones and zeros, the lights of the screen, the programmers, the electricity. That's what's doing something. And of course, it's not doing what it looks like it's doing. It looks like there's some character killing a monster. And none of that's happening. There's really just three different colors of lights flashing on the screen. Or you could say there's just ones and zeros. Or you could say there's just electricity. It's not really a character getting gold or killing a monster. But it feels like that. And if you ever watch anyone playing a computer game, or if you've ever played one yourself, people feel what their character feels. Have you ever noticed that? Or people watching a movie or reading a book. Loharan Prabhu. How am I supposed to use a computer if the projector goes off every 2 minutes?
Maximum is 40 minutes, not electricity.
No, no, it's going off every 2 to 5 minutes, and then it stays off and doesn't come back on. There is electricity, but it's staying off. Okay, I have scheduled a break now, so even though I'm way behind schedule, we're going to take a break, because I really want to take a break. So, I have no idea how we're going to stick to all this today. We won't. Some things we won't do today, and that's okay. So we're going to take a break till 12 o'clock. Stretch, go outside, get some sunshine. Okay? And we will finish. I had hoped to be halfway through chapter 14 by now. Yes. Okay. Say la vie. Please come back at 12 o'clock sharp. Ask.
So how do you, what do you say about this capacity that you asked us?